This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Final minute and change of game number four of the Stanley Cup Final in Sunrise, Florida, where the Edmonton Oilers have come all the way back from down 3-0 in the first period to score four unanswered goals, and they lead 4-3. Florida has called a timeout, a minute 21 left, and they have the extra attacker on the ice. Looking right now at a live puck line. If you think the Oilers are going to add the empty netter, you can get it at even money, minus a goal and a half. But we are in the final minute of play here, where the Panthers will try and do what the Oilers did to them earlier in this series, and that is get a late goal to force an overtime. But this was a tale of two different games, and maybe three different games, if we're being honest, but probably more so two, because after the first period, this was a game that was dominated by the Edmonton Oilers. But in the first period, it was all Florida. And I tweeted out, and you guys can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. The Florida Panthers have been a wagon this entire postseason and in this series. They've been incredible. And I don't want to take anything away from how good Florida is and how good Florida played, not just in game number three, the 6-1 route, although a lot of it had to do with the penalties, but they still played great. And then they played great in the first period. But I also wanted to just remark that that was probably the worst hockey we've seen Edmonton play in a long time. That was as horrific of a first period as you're going to see the Oilers play. They were sloppy on their entries. They had a great first shift where Connor McDavid gets a great chance on net. They put up two shots on goal, and then they went the next 15 minutes or so without a shot on goal. Their entries were terrible. Their forecheck was non-existent, and they couldn't get the puck out of their own end, turned it over, and allowed just unnecessary goals. The ones that, you know, the shorthanded stuff, it's difficult. You take penalties, which is what plagued them in game number three. But you take penalties, you go down 5-on-3. And when you're down two men, you're going to give up a goal. So Tkachuk scores on a 5-on-3. Okay, that's going to happen. But the goal at the end of the period, that's inexcusable. And so coach Chris Knobloch decides to make a change at the end of the first period. Pulls Stuart Skinner. A move that I thought he should have made early in game number three, but he waited till later in game number three to make that move. But he makes the move early here in game number four. And sometimes when you replace a goaltender, as the Florida Panthers have just scored to tie the game, my goodness, this is almost the exact scenario that we saw in game number two, where the Oilers scored in the final minute with the extra attacker on to force overtime. Well, here the Florida Panthers have done the same. Revenge. And the Panthers did go on to win that game in overtime, so maybe the Oilers go on to win this game in overtime. But with about 12 seconds remaining on the clock, the Florida Panthers have tied the game at four. I got to see who scored the goal. I see, let's see, looks like that is Sam Reinhart with the game-tying goal in the closing seconds with the extra attacker on. And my goodness, I am, now this is not going to be one of those situations. I'm curious to hear what Gretzky has to say in the intermission, because if you recall, after the game two, third period, Oilers score to force overtime. Gretzky was so adamant in that intermission report about how Florida icing the puck was the reason why they lost. And yes, you want to shoot towards the empty net. You want to shoot towards the empty net because you score that goal, the game's over. You win the game, you score that empty net goal. But by shooting at the empty net, you fall susceptible to the icing. And what happens on the icing? You give the opponent time to regroup. They have their top guys on the ice. You can't make a change. And they get an offensive zone penalty. Now, this possession did not come off of a faceoff. This possession came off of Edmonton did attempt to shoot it down, but it wasn't enough for an icing. Florida then gained control. They gained the zone. And wow, wow, Sam Reinhart's goal with 20 seconds remaining ties the game at 4, and we are headed into overtime. I just have one question. Are you not entertained? This is unbelievable. What a series we have had. 3 of the first 4 games have gone to overtime. Wow. And I was ready. I was starting this show, and we were talking about how this was a collapse by the Florida Panthers and an incredible job by the Edmonton Oilers. Once they made the goaltending switch, and this is the point that I was trying to make, when you make a goaltending switch, sometimes it's not about the goalie. It's not about, oh, well, you know, I just don't think that the goaltender's doing the job, and he's the reason why, right? Skinner is having a bad game. No. Sometimes you make a change because you want to give a spark to your team. Because it sends a message to the rest of the players that they need to step up their game. And we see it all the time in sports, right? When a player goes down, the star player goes down, we like, oh, we have to bet against that team. Well, what happens? Oftentimes, the other players step up. Backup goaltender in, right? What happens? Oh, you want to fade that team. Well, sometimes that goaltender, the team steps up. They play better defense around them. And from the start of the second period on, this was a one-sided game in favor of the Edmonton Oilers. They dominated that second period, scoring 3 unanswered goals to tie it. It's an even throughout the third period until Jake Walman scores a goal. Great feed by Kasperi Kapanen on a 2-on-1 situation, kind of. Oilers take a 4-3 lead with about 6 minutes and change to go. And then, as we just watched here together, Sam Reinhart's goal with 20 seconds remaining sends this game to overtime. The third overtime game in the first 4 games here in the Stanley Cup Final. My goodness. I'm Scott Sattenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live as we take a look right now at the live betting market. The Panthers, who closed as north of minus 140 favorites before the game to win the game, Panthers minus 120 is the live line right now as we head into overtime. Now, does it play out the same way that we saw game number 2 play out? Oilers score the late goal to force overtime, and then the Panthers wind up getting the win. Does it happen now the opposite way? Panthers scoring the late goal to force overtime, Oilers get the win. Either way, this has been an incredible game. This has been an incredible series. And even if Florida goes up 3-1, Edmonton's not out of this series, because the series will shift to Edmonton for game number 5 coming up on Saturday. You like the Oilers to win that. I like the Oilers certainly to win that game. And then who knows what happens in game 6 back in Florida. Look at what we saw last year. The Panthers won the first 3 games of that series. They went up 3-0. The Oilers then won the next 3 games to force a game number 7, and ultimately the Panthers win in game 7 on their home ice. So nothing would surprise me, because if the Oilers win game number 5, and then it's a 3-2 series, all the pressure is on Florida. Because if they lose, they know that if they lose game number 6 at home, they got to go to Edmonton for game 7. Boy, you don't want to be in that situation. But we still got a long ways to go. This game is not over yet. We are headed into overtime between the Panthers and the Oilers. Here's taking a look at these stats right now. Your goal scorers in this game. Matthew Tkachuk scored the first 2 goals of the game, both on the power play. Goals number 6 and 7 of the playoffs for Matthew Tkachuk. Anton Lundell with the late goal at the end of the first period off of a bad Oilers turnover. That was his 6th of the playoffs. And then in the third period, second period, excuse me. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins scores his sixth of the playoffs on the power play. Darnell Nurse scores his third of the postseason. And Podkolzin scores his second of the postseason to make it a 3-3 game. Jake Walman gets the go-ahead goal. Sam Reinhart, with his sixth of the playoffs, gets the goal to tie it at 4 apiece. So who do we think is going to come away with the winning goal? Let's make some bets. Live goal scorer props right now. Leon Draisaitl, plus 800 is the favorite. Connor McDavid, 10-1 is the second favorite. Sam Bennett and Sam Reinhart are both 13-1, followed by Alexander Barkov and Carter Verhaeghe and Matthew Tkachuk, all at 16-1. And then Brad Marchand at 18-1. I find it fascinating that the top two favorites are the Oilers players in Draisaitl and McDavid, and then it's 6 Florida players before the next Oilers player in Corey Perry at 20-1 odds to get the game-winning goal in overtime. You know me. I'm a Leon Draisaitl guy, okay? He's my pick to win the Conn Smythe. So for the storyline, for him to get his second game-winning goal in this series, it really helps the cause. So I'm going to go Draisaitl, 8-1, to get the game winner here in overtime. I'm Scott Seidenberg again, always on Twitter, at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network, at VSIN Live. Buckle up. We're getting ready for overtime. This is Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg here with you on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks around the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200. Claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. We are getting ready for overtime here in game number 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. Once again, the live line is the Panthers minus 120 to win this game and your live goal scorer. So to get the game-winning goal, Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers is the favorite at plus 800. Connor McDavid, the second favorite at 10-1, followed by 6 Panther players. Sam Bennett and Sam Reinhart, both at 13-1. Alexander Barkov, Carter Verhaeghe, and Matthew Tkachuk at 16-1. And your longer shots down the list, Brad Marchand, 18-1. Corey Perry, 20-1. Evander Kane, 22-1. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 22-1. So you can take a shot on some of these guys. Evan Bouchard, 30-1. How about a little Bouch bomb maybe here in overtime? But this is unbelievable. As for the second time in this series, we had a late goal in the final seconds, the final half a minute, to tie the game and force overtime. The third overtime game in the first 4 games of this series. It's unbelievable. It's unreal. What a series this has been. I want to take a look at some of the analytical numbers in this series, in this game in particular, to see how it has played out here through 3 periods. Well, if we look at all situations, obviously we are at a tie right now, a 4-4 tie, obviously. But let's take a look at how the teams played in 5-5 situations. In 5v5 through the entirety of this game, for the Florida Panthers, they have had more shot attempts than the Edmonton Oilers. They've had more shots of those attempts that have gotten through to the net. Shots on goal, 5v5, 25 for the Panthers, 20 for the Edmonton Oilers. More scoring chances for the Florida Panthers. More high danger chances slightly for the Florida Panthers. Your expected goal numbers. Again, this is only 5v5. We're taking out the power plays and everything here. Could it be more? I mean, this is, we're going to overtime 4-4, so this doesn't surprise me. 2.92 for the Panthers, 2.47 for the Edmonton Oilers. That is where we are in 5 versus 5. In all situations, 4.45 expected goals for the Panthers and 4.12 expected goals for the Oilers. So it should be tied exactly where we are, tied at 4. Also, this is the fourth straight game in the Stanley Cup final that it has gone to over, that over, that it has gone over the total. And I'll admit, I leaned towards the under at 6.5. I felt with the first three games going over that we were due for an under game here in these in this series, especially if you looked at game number 3 that barely went over with a 6-1 score, thanks to a late goal in the third period, once again on the power play by the Florida Panthers. I was really hoping that game was just going to end 5-1. But if you looked at that game, and you just looked at how the teams played at even strength, which was very difficult to do because the majority of the game was played with a man advantage for Florida because of the enormous amount of penalties that the Oilers took in game number 3. In fact, here's the crazy part about that game compared to the first two games of the series, is that in game number 1, yes, it went to overtime, there were 69 minutes of 5 versus 5 hockey. In game number 2, also it went to overtime, 69 minutes of 5 versus 5 hockey. In game number 3, there was only 32 minutes of 5v5. Well, 33 minutes, 32 and 50 seconds. So half of what we had in game number 1 and game number 2. Just crazy amount of penalties in game number 3. But if all we did was look at the even strength play in game number 3, dead even. Expected goal numbers of 1 for the Oilers and 0.87 for the Panthers. The game played to an under pace. And in fact, if you look at all situations in that game number 3, and the expected goal numbers and the shots and the high danger chances and whatnot, it still trended towards an under, 2.3 to 2.8. But because of the enormous amount of power plays, you're going to get goals. You constantly take penalties, you're going to give up goals. And if you're constantly on the man advantage, you're going to score. And that's what Florida did. And that's why they won 6-1. But I was leaning towards an under here tonight. Obviously not the case, as we have had, three goals in the first period. Should have been 2, but the late goal scored by Florida made it 3-0. And then Edmonton surged all the way back. Very impressive comeback. Was headed towards a 4-3 victory, but no game is ever over. And the Oilers, who in this postseason alone have done this multiple times, scoring late with the extra attacker on, they should know more than anybody that no game is ever over. And so with 20 seconds remaining, the Panthers tie it at 4, and that's where we are here as overtime is officially underway. I'm Scott Sadenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. You can start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSIN Daily Morning Bets podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement. In just 15 minutes, you'll get everything you need to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves all before your morning coffee's gone. Hosted by VSIN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSIN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or you can get it on the VSIN Watch app. The sharpest way to start your betting day is the VSIN Daily Morning Bets podcast. Today was day one of the U.S. Open at Oakmont, and early on, we saw the course play out pretty much how it was expected to play out. A very difficult course with overgrown rough and just really hard to attack. And some of the scores we expected to be pretty high. And then there was a couple of players that actually shined and put up really good rounds of golf. JJ Spahn, a bogey-free 4-under round of 66. I don't think anybody expected that. Now, some people might have expected it if they have any, you know, bets on JJ Spahn, but to have a bogey-free round on that course, the way it was playing, when some of the best golfers in the world were shooting two over, three over, four over par, I did not expect the first round leader to be four under. I'll say that. But if we take a look at the leaderboard, we take a look at some of the names, the popular names that are on the list here. Brooks Koepka. How about Brooksy? He shot a 2-under-68. He is T3 right now. John Rahm is 1-under, and John Rahm was a guy that, you know, certainly a lot of people were high on here coming into this tournament, thinking that this could be the moment that John Rahm gets back into a win here on for a major. Going further down, Russell Henley was a guy that some experts talked about. He's even. Jordan Spieth, even. Colin Morikawa, one of my outright winners, is even. So at least I'm alive with Colin Morikawa. I have Bryson DeChambeau also, and he was the second favorite coming into the event. Not a good day for DeChambeau, as he is 3 over par. And then there's Scottie Scheffler, also at 3 over par, the overwhelming betting favorite coming into this event at plus 275. Those odds were just, you couldn't bet those. Not on this course. But taking a look at the live market right now, I mentioned John Rahm. He is the plus 550 betting favorite. Scottie Scheffler, despite being 3 over, is the second favorite at plus 650. Colin Morikawa, who's even, is next at 12 to 1. Brooks Koepka, who's 2 under, he's at 12 to 1. Your current leader, JJ Spahn, who's 4 under, he is also at 12 to 1. And then Bryson DeChambeau at 16 to 1. Your current odds right now up on DraftKings to win the U.S. Open at Oakmont. What can we expect coming up here on Friday for round number 2? Will the scores be lower? Will the course be a little bit more favorable? How's the weather going to play into this? You know, are the conditions going to be better? I know over the weekend there might be a little bit of precipitation, which might soften the course a little bit. But if these golfers, these big-name golfers that we've all have our bets on, want to make runs here, one, they're going to have to attack the course. Two, the course is going to have to be a little bit more favorable for them. Because if they're not able to get out of the rough, if they're not able to chip it from the rough and put themselves in position to shoot lower scores, well, it's going to be one of those U.S. Opens, right? Which comes as no surprise to anybody. We'll talk more about the golf coming up next. Brad Thomas from NBC Sports Bet will join me, Scott Seidenberg, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we remain tied 4-apiece in overtime between the Oilers and the Panthers, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. Still rooting for some shots on goals for some of the prop bets that I have that are, you know, hey, we got lucky. Sometimes you get lucky and you get to overtime and you have an extra chance to cash some of these bets. But we'll see. I need a shot on goal from Sam Bennett. Still sitting on 2. Let's hope he gets to 3 at some point. But we still want Draisaitl to get that game winner for our Conn Smythe ticket, because it'll be very hard to vote against the guy that has 2 overtime game winners in a series. You know, I'm just saying. But let's continue to talk U.S. Open as we get ready for the second round Friday at Oakmont. And joining us on the Progressive Guest Line right now from NBC Sports Bet, he is Brad Thomas. Brad, thanks so much for giving us a couple of minutes here on VSiN. And let's talk about what we saw in this first round. You know, we see J.J. Spahn shoot a monster number when you consider what this course was doing. And then the rest of the day kind of played out how we expected Oakmont and the U.S. Yep. Open to play out with all these plus money, plus par scores. But what did you make overall of what this course played out like here in round number 1?
You know, so I spent pretty much all day mapping out each wave, morning wave, PM wave, front nine, back nine. And I was trying to see if there was like some clear advantage between distance and accuracy. It was a good mix between everything. But I think that's what Gil Hanse was kind of going for when he did the redesign here, the renovations, was, you know, you want it to be tough, but you also want it to be rewarding, right? If you're going to hit fairways, you should be rewarded. If you're going to hit greens, you should be rewarded. And it played pretty well, right? JJ Spahn did everything you needed to do. He capitalized and made over 90% of his putts inside 12 feet. Didn't three putt hit a ton of fairways, and look what happened. He was one of he was the only guy to go bogey free. So I thought it was a pretty compelling day, and this course is just such a phenomenal course for a major.
You know, there was a prop bet I saw out there. It was like, will somebody shoot a bogey-free 72 holes? And I was like, just burn your money. No one's going to do it.
Burn it.
And then J.J. Spawn shoots a bogey-free first round. And I'm like, he's not going to do it again. Like, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen here on this course. But he is your leader right now. And I read the odds before, and so I'll read them now courtesy of DraftKings right now. Spawn is 12-1 to win despite having a one-stroke lead on top of the leaderboard. What do you make of his chances to continue to stay on top of the leaderboard after round two?
I don't think he has a very good chance to stay on top of the leaderboard, right? He got that really nice AM start where there was still dew on the ground. The course wasn't as tough. And I'm pretty sure that they're going to try to bake it out as much as they can until the rain comes. Because the last thing that the members of this course and the people who put their hard-earned dollars to this course want is this to turn into an LA country club, a course, a US Open venue that's just getting kind of just destroyed by these really good golfers. I think for JJ, he prays for rain. There's some lightning in the forecast around midday. He prays that lightning comes and it just pours while he's inside the clubhouse. Comes out, the sun shining, not a ton of wind, and he has really soft, receptive greens. But I don't think he's going to have a good round. I just don't see it happening. He was saved by his flat stick a lot, and this is just one of those courses that one false move just kind of catapults into another, and it's really hard to just repeat perfection at this course.
So who do you think then has a chance to rise up in round number two as compared to what they did in round number one?
Yeah, so naturally I looked at the top of the board and thought John Rahm, you know, had the best chance to win it, right? John Rahm's just been playing really good golf. But what's difficult about John Rahm, and I kind of struggled with, was John Rahm hit 10 of 14 fairways, hit 14 of 18 greens, yet he's still three back of J.J. Spawn. He gained almost six strokes or seven strokes off the tee. Like, that's not going to happen at a course like this. So the fact that he left so many strokes out there either tells me he has a chance to win, but at the plus 600 is just too short. I'd probably go a little bit further to Brooks Koepka, right? He's already at two under. He didn't play like that great. He only hit 6 of 14 fairways, but if there's anyone you want to trust at this stage, it's a 5-time major champion, mm-hmm. a guy who, when he gets hot, it really gets going, and there's room for improvement in his game. He can play better than he played today, which is really scary.
You know, coming into this tournament, there was so much made about the roughs and how, yes, the long players are going to be okay because even if you miss the fairway, you're deep enough that you can just chip it onto the green, right? So that's why a lot of people were still okay with Bryson DeChambeau. I know I certainly was in a, an outright winner bet because he's the longest on the tour. And so if he's going to get down there, even if he's off the fairway, he'll be close enough to the green where he can salvage and he can scramble. But accuracy, we know, was going to be the biggest strength on this course. And Colin Morikawa has been one of the more accurate guys this entire year. He's even par right now, 12-1 to win, much like Koepka's 12-1 to win. What do you think of Morikawa's chances to climb up here starting in round number two?
I hate them. I think Colin Morikawa actually is over par tomorrow. He gained over 4.5 strokes on approach, yet lost 2.6 strokes putting. And typically when Colin Morikawa plays on complex greens and he's not rolling the rock, it continues. And then it starts to bleed into the rest of his game. You know, you talked about the rough and how long hitters we thought were going to have this advantage. There's still a good amount of really long hitters that had an advantage this week. Like, you think about Nygaard Pedersen, you think about Thomas Dietrich, you think about Thurston Lawrence, guys who hit the ball far, have high club head speed. Just one thing, they just weren't missing fairways, right? They were big gainers off the tee. I think this length in general is going to be Morikawa's problem.
That's a good point. Talking to Brad Thomas from NBC Sports Bet, I'm Scott Seidenberg. Brad joining us on the Progressive Guest Line here on Cashing Out on VSiN. All right, so let's talk now. If you had to make a bet, we talked about maybe John Rahm or Koepka to win, right, an outright winner. But if we're just going to attack round two leader, what's the best bet on the board for round two leader?
round two leader, I want to have someone who has a morning tea time, right? I can't go with the Siwoo. I can't go with the JJ Spawn. I would probably go with, man, I know I'm going to hate saying this because it's going to make me sick to my stomach because I'm not going to bet it, but I'd probably just go with John Rahm, right? Like, even going back to LIV Virginia, which was the tournament prior to this for the LIV golfers, he was playing some really good golf. He was one of the favorites to win it. I thought he was live to win it on Saturday, kind of didn't get the job done there. If he can repeat another day where he gains, he doesn't need to gain 3.5 strokes off the tee. If he can gain 2 strokes off the tee and at least have a +1 putter instead of a minus putter, I think John Rahm can go out there and shoot 3 under because he gets that morning tee time. He gets it when it's a lot softer. And listen, when you're playing and you're hitting fairways at this course, you really want it to be soft because these greens are not receptive. They do not hold the ball up. And for John Rahm, that'll be really nice to have that advantage.
John Rahm +750 as the third favorite to be the end of round two leader. We have breaking news, Brad. Leon Draisaitl scores the game winner for the Edmonton Oilers as they win game number 4 in overtime, 5-4. Yes. The second overtime winner in this series for one Leon Draisaitl, who might have lost the Hart Trophy here today as he finished second in the voting to my pick, Connor Hellebuyck. But after this game winner, he's got to be the favorite to win the Conn Smythe Award right
now.
He has to be, right? Because this is an even series. It's 2 games apiece now. It's going back to Edmonton for game number 5. So you would think that the Oilers would be the same, like, -120 favorite that they were prior to this series beginning. I got to imagine, more so than McDavid, Draisaitl's got to be the Conn Smythe favorite right now.
He has to be. And what's funny is, like, you just can't ignore his impact that he's had in these 2 games because he did not play great last game and you knew he was going to have a massive effort. He has the second most points in the playoffs now. I'd probably go with Draisaitl. I liked him prior anyway. I was pretty upset. I had him for the Hart, didn't win it, but I'm really stoked you told me this news because I'm, like I told you off air, I'm sitting on this Edmonton preseason ticket. I did put a little hedge on Florida, but I want to get the bigger payout.
Well, right now, let's see if we do have a line out for game number 5, and it is exactly how we expected it to be. Oilers -120, which is what they were in game number 1 and in game number 2. Now, in both game 1 and 2, they did get bet below. So money came in on Florida, but Edmonton at home on Saturday, a -120 favorite right now in the series price. Panthers -115, Oilers -105. So it's going to change. I think it'll fluctuate a little bit here over the next, you know, couple hours. But update on the Conn Smythe Award just yet. At least I'm looking at DK. No update just yet. But, Brad, it has to be Draisaitl. 2 overtime game winners in this series? It has to be. Brad, great stuff, man. Good luck with your bets. I might ride this John Rahm end of round 2 leader bet with you, okay?
Absolutely. Wyndham Clark over 73.5 points, too. Strokes, excuse me. Take that.
Nice. And Koepka to win is a nice shot right now. Yes. 16-1. Best odds out there in the market. Brad, appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you soon. There he
Take
is.
Care.
Brad Thomas, NBC Sports Bet, joining me here, Scott Seidenberg. It is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott On Air, ScottsOnAir. We hope that you listened to the pick and you rode with me here on Leon Draisaitl +800 to get the overtime game winner. That was my pick, and I was rooting for the storyline, let's be honest. We really wanted the storyline to come through with our Leon Draisaitl Conn Smythe ticket at +750. But Draisaitl scores his second OT winner of the series. And Teasers tweeting at me a big shout out. Thanks for the Draisaitl OT 8-1 ticket. Good, you cashed on it. Awesome. Joe tweeting at me at Scott's On Air. If you threw $10 on Draisaitl, an overtime goal in every Oilers game in this postseason, you're up $1,000. I mean, that's a pretty nice payout there. He has now set an NHL record for most overtime goals in a single postseason with 4. Now think about this. Last year, Connor McDavid broke Wayne Gretzky's record for the most assists in a single postseason. And when the Oilers forced a game number 7, he was the overwhelming favorite to win the Conn Smythe Award. Because even though in a losing effort, right, and you're saying, well, who are you going to vote for on Florida? We have to remind ourselves that the Conn Smythe Award is given to the player who is the most valuable to his team throughout the entirety of the postseason, not just the best player in the Stanley Cup final. And so, yeah, Sasha Barkov had an incredible series last year. Even Sergei Bobrovsky certainly deserved some credit for the run that Florida did all the way to the Cup. But once Edmonton came back from 3-0 down to force a game number 7, win or lose, Connor McDavid was the rightful winner for the Conn Smythe Award as the most valuable player for the entirety of the playoffs. There's no argument right now, based on the performance, that for Florida's perspective, from Florida's perspective, Sam Bennett is the most valuable player throughout these entire playoffs. He leads the postseason in goals. But now, with Leon Draisaitl getting his second overtime winner of this series and his NHL record 4th overtime goal in this postseason, Leon Draisaitl should be the favorite to win the Conn Smythe Award. Right now, DraftKings is adjusting on the fly because I tweeted this out a couple of minutes ago and these odds have changed even from the time that I tweeted. Sam Bennett is the favorite at plus 165. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl now plus 250 co-favorites for the Edmonton Oilers. So if the Panthers win, it's going to be Sam Bennett. If the Oilers win, right now McDavid and Draisaitl are the co-second favorites at plus 250. I got to imagine that Draisaitl gets the votes. Coming into this series, or coming into the Stanley Cup final, McDavid was the leader in points, and Draisaitl was one behind him. Draisaitl had more goals. McDavid had more assists. Coming into this game, McDavid the leader in points. Draisaitl just 2 behind him. Well, here in this game tonight, Draisaitl got another goal. Now his 11th of the postseason, right? So the second overtime winner, 4th overtime winner of these playoffs, 11th goal. And tonight, Draisaitl had 2 assists and 1 goal. 3 points for Draisaitl. Connor McDavid had just 1 assist, 1 point. As we sit right now going into game number 5, Leon Draisaitl is atop as the scoring leader here in these Stanley Cup playoffs. So, plus 250, plus 250, okay. I think it should flip to where it was prior, but it should be the other way around, as when I tweeted it out, it was Draisaitl plus 300, McDavid plus 250. It should be Draisaitl plus 250, McDavid plus 300. But coming into this series, Draisaitl was plus 750 as the 3rd or 4th favorite. It was McDavid, the overwhelming favorite. And then Sergei Bobrovsky was the 2nd favorite. Draisaitl was the 3rd. Sasha Barkov right there with him. A lot of books had Barkov as the 3rd favorite. And then Draisaitl was the 4th favorite. Obviously, after the game 1 heroics, that market changed. And then after games 2 and 3, Sam Bennett doing what he's doing, the market changes. And then here in game number 4, game of inches, right? Sam Bennett in overtime hit the post on a shot that was off of Calvin Pickard's glove, off the crossbar, stays out, and then Draisaitl gets the game-winning goal. If that goal goes in for Sam Bennett, he's probably minus 300 to win the Conn Smythe, let's be honest. Because Florida still right now is minus 115 to win the Stanley Cup. If they were up 3-1, they'd be an overwhelming favorite to win. And with Bennett getting the game winner, on top of being the leading goal scorer in this entire postseason, he'd be a massive favorite to win the Conn Smythe Award. And you could have gotten him before this series at over 30-1 odds. But right now, Drysdale should be the favorite. I guess I understand why Bennett is still a slight favorite, but if Edmonton wins this series, then Bennett's not going to win. So Drysdale's the only bet that you can make right now is Leon Drysdale. Now, there might be an argument. There might be an argument for Calvin Pickard. 250-1 for Calvin Pickard. It's not going to happen. But hear me out. Stuart Skinner starts the postseason as the starting goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers. In games 1 and 2 against the LA Kings, Stuart Skinner is not good. No other way to put it. Not good. Oilers are down 2-0 right to start the postseason. In game number 3, Stuart Skinner gets benched. Calvin Pickard comes in. And what happens? Pickard proceeds to win the next 6 straight games as the goaltender. 4 straight against the Kings, 2 straight against Vegas. And then he gets hurt in that game number 3 against Vegas. Stuart Skinner, or in game number 2. Stuart Skinner comes in, and Skinner then maintains his status as the starter as he became, what was it, you know, the whole game 4 Skinner, game 5 Skinner. Like, he's so incredible in game number 4. You know what's crazy? He doesn't get credit for the win tonight because he wasn't the goaltender of record. Like, Pickard gets credit for the win. But Stuart Skinner is undefeated in game number 4. That's a fact. Crazy, right? Anyway, Skinner becomes the starting goaltender, but then we know about his struggles here in this series. And now Calvin Pickard takes over. He was great. Let up a late goal. What are you going to do? Extra attacker. You know, 20 seconds left. Like, he's 19 seconds away from picking up the W and not allowing a goal. After he comes in, the team's down 3-0, and he pitches a shutout for 2 periods. But Florida gets the goal. 19 seconds left in regulation. Then the Oilers get the win. In this postseason, 7-0 now, because he gets credit for the win tonight. 7 wins, 0 losses in this postseason for Calvin Pickard. If he is the starting goaltender, which I expect him to be for game number 5 on Saturday, and let's say he has a tremendous performance, maybe even a shutout performance, and they win game 5 and then game 6 on the strength of Calvin Pickard in net, and he finishes the postseason at 9-0, a 9-0 record, there might be some voters that vote for Calvin Pickard, thinking that this goaltender switch in game number 3 against the Kings was the moment that the postseason changed for the Edmonton Oilers, because they could have been down 3-0 and the series is over and they're eliminated. But they make the change. As soon as Pickard comes in, that's when everything changed. They win 6 straight games. And then, down 3-0 here in game number 4, they make the switch to Pickard. That's when the game changed tonight. And arguably, maybe, where the series changed. 250-1. Some worse bets to be made. If you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $1.99 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from both DraftKings and Circa Sportsbooks, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide coming out July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSin.